G'day everyone, welcome back to another Free Kick On Air episode. You've got me, Liam, and you've got Mel and Jono this week. Mel, you're back from some time away from the country, from fantasy, from Fremantle. How's the team looking? How are you feeling about this round?
I'm absolutely stoked. I reckon I've spent overall 2 hours paying attention to fantasy in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And my rank has not slipped, so I consider that a win. Looking forward to both chatting and learning about the teams as we go through them tonight, as I'm refamiliarizing myself with AFLW. But yeah, probably just be mostly listening. But let's go.
And for those of you who don't know, for those of you know the listeners that haven't got access to your exact rank, where are you at the moment?
947. Oh. So stayed just inside the top 1,000 for the last 3 weeks.
Which treading water, and now you're about to rocket up.
Oh, absolutely. As long as I'm not rocketing down.
I do believe that's called sinking.
Yeah, sinking the ship.
And Jono, how are you? I know that you've got some designs on watching the game tonight. Down at GMHBA. Are you feeling ready for round 7 of AFLW Fantasy?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling pretty excited for tonight's game. I think it's going to be a good one. I feel like both teams are sort of not yet hit their straps this season, but have been finding ways to get the wins on the board. So it could go either way, which would be good. But I am recording this one on my phone in the car park at GMHBA Stadium. So a little bit of a different vibe for this live one.
That sounds like the perfect spot to be doing a recording like this. You say that Geelong haven't hit their straps. They did manage. They did feel like they were pretty much perfect against the Bombers. So like, I don't know what you're talking about. I feel like they are in ripping hot form at the minute. They also did just smash Richmond. Doesn't exactly mean much either, just given the way that Richmond are playing at the moment. It will be a fascinating weekend. We're doing this for the first time before we actually have teams out for most of the games this weekend, but we do have one game, as we've just been talking about. It is tonight down at GMHBA. So I thought we'd just have a quick look at the team that's been announced. And just chat a few things about some of these teams because we know that we have to get these locked in extremely quickly. Cats have 3 outs. They've got Julia Crockett-Grills and Emma Kilpatrick both injured and Gabby Featherstone omitted. And then Bridie O'Rourke, Bella Kaye-Smith and Kate Darby have come in. And then for Hawthorne, it's Emily Everest out with that. So Emily Everest and Bridie Hipwell out, both injured. And then in come Caitlin Ashmore and Christy Stratton. I don't necessarily think that the ins for these trades meet a whole lot. It maybe Kate Darby just, again, pulls some points off Piper Dunlop, given that Gabby Featherstone has been, when she's played this season, been a bit of a chop-out ruck. But the big question this week, and it's one that I'm pondering, Georgie Prasparkas, done spectacularly well, you know, made a bunch of cash, now priced at basically exactly 100. She's averaging exactly 100. Is she going out of your side, our sides? Because at the moment, she's the player that Jasmine Garner will become. Jasmine Garner will become whatever. I'm bringing in Jasmine Garner for Georgie Prasparkas. Either of you guys doing the same? And even if you aren't, are you still happy to tick off trading out Georgie if you're going up?
I don't think it's totally risk-free. I think that she's probably more likely to plateau now, but we haven't seen any of those pop scores. I mean, we saw a 117. Like, if she gets another 117 or another couple of 120s, are you going to be kicking yourself? Probably not, because Garner's going to do more than that, we hope. So I think if you held her for a little bit longer, it's not the end of the world. Like, if you've got someone else to trade for, because I don't think she's a must trade out, but she is a delightful stepping stone up to Garner if that's the position you're in this week, because Garner's probably worth breaking a little bit of your team for, and Prespakis is probably the least regrets trade out you'd have compared to someone like maybe a Bowers or a Gardiner, depending on what other situation you're in.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. Jono, are you in the same boat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, obviously, it's a great time to be getting Garner, so absolutely the trade. But at the same time, you look at what Sentra did against the Hawks with that 108 last week, what Noffy and Hatchard did the week before. I don't think the Hawks are a team that tag. I think we're going to go toe-to-toe in that midfield and just hope that Eliza West and Emily Bates can get over the line. So I wouldn't expect her to have a one of those floor 70 sort of efforts. I expect she'll do pretty well. So yeah, it's really more of like a luxury up than it is necessarily a necessity.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And if it wasn't a case where I thought that someone like Laura Gardner was probably still going to score really well again this week, I maybe will have tossed up actually having Gardner be the one go out down to Garner, just because I do think that Georgie will probably score well tonight. And I had a look at the kind of last four, rating Hawthorne had for midfielders, and it's one of the best in the comp. As you said, Jono, they don't really look to run anything negative. It's a very much a head-to-head operation. I wonder, though, if there is a world where someone is given a cooling role at stoppage if Georgie becomes a serious problem. I don't necessarily feel like Hawthorn so far this year have been in many situations where it's been one player's star midfielder that's really generating all of the opposition's best movement. I feel as though Georgie might be one of the players that first really presses them into action.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have one player in that midfield that stands out, but it's not like Nina Morrison hasn't been in pretty electric form lately. If I was worried about a stopper tonight, I'm a little bit more concerned about someone going to Tilly Lucas-Rodd, because I think Collingwood did that sort of a minor negation role. They weren't letting her have those, sideways cheap kicks as much. And I can see Geelong doing something like that again.
But it did, and that stopped Tilly.
It just stopped a lot of those kick-ins as well? Plus sixes. I don't think it stopped the kick-ins, but there's multiple ways that Tilly gets their points.
Yeah, Tilly lost out on free kicks to bloody Mac Eardley, who had five. Sorry, I'm
definitely going to be playing in that back line again with Emily Everest out.
Yeah, it's great. I love the fact that I traded in TLR last week at a really expensive price. It fills me with confidence. That is probably a question then. We are sitting at a time of the year where looking to complete sides, a lot of people have been running some, cheaper or, defenders that have been really gaining in price, like Tessa Boyd and Paxi Paxman. If you're sitting in the position where you can get up to TLR, does the possibility of a cooler kind of drive you away from picking them up? Would you look cheaper at a Sarah Goodwin? Would you go even higher with the red hot form and run of Watson? Where are we sitting?
Yeah, this is the position that I'm in this week with Tessa Boyd. I'm not sure, Mel, if you've got a defender movement this week.
No, not for me.
Yeah, I think at the moment I'm going Goodwin. I think that role and just the price movement that I'm expecting is going to take off is something I don't want to miss out on. And if I didn't have that option, I would probably make the extra, dollar value up to Serene Watson work, because she's been pretty unreal lately. And I just think even if Tilly goes well, you can always jump on next week, because I think her break-even is something like 110 from memory. I don't think she's going to be jumping in to an unreachable point next week, no matter what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very much a timing thing. And I think that Goodwin, you kind of just want to get on now while she will almost certainly rocket up in cash. And I don't necessarily feel like she'll be the player that will get any attention in that game against Sydney this week. And we kind of saw what she was able to do against Gold Coast when she was given no attention. So that'll be a very interesting one to watch. Now, all importantly, we have teams for the weekend's games. So let us jump right in. First up, we have Melbourne against the Suns down at Casey Fields at 1:05 on Friday, so tomorrow afternoon. Out are Molly O'Hare and Saray Taylor injured. In come Gemma Rigoni and Lily Johnson. So that's one wing and one defender. And then for the Suns, it's Mia Salisbury out, omitted, Taylor Gregory out, omitted. And then returning is Charlotte Wilson from injury and Taya Oliver for the first time since, I think, about round one. Right off the bat, I don't necessarily feel like the ins and outs are posing much of an issue for us. I think, as we were just talking about, the question here is Paxi. Had a terrible score last week. And he's sitting, however, with a great matchup this week. If you have both Paxi and Boyd, who do you propose is the better option to keep? Because I'm currently in the Boyd camp, but I'm not exactly, you know, vociferous in that opinion.
As in keep Boyd?
Keep Boyd for the week. Get rid of Paxi.
Paxi's Gold Coast matchup is so convenient, though, just for one more week.
Well, what about the fact that North plays Essendon?
Yeah, that's going to be thrilling. The ball
may not be anywhere near that back line whatsoever. It's sort of a two-edged sword. The Bombers, I do think Paxman will probably score better, but it depends. I worry with Paxman that you've got more money to lose. Like, her price is going to fall dramatically after already a pretty dramatic drop last week.
Yeah, so Paxi's break-even is 82. So if she scores a 50, it's down 86K. So down in the low 600Ks next week. That's a tough pill to swallow. Boyd is all her break even shot up as well, but it's only at 56. Now, you say the Bombers aren't going to, you know, the ball's not going to be down there that much. The Bombers will still be able to move the ball a little bit, but they're just so terrible going inside 50. And this was the matchup where in the preseason, North Melbourne absolutely feasted in defense. So if I look at their scores in defense, Libby Birch has 100 with 10 marks, Erica O'Shea 82 with 6 marks. Tess Craven has a 74 with 6 marks. Nicole Bresnahan has a 58 with 6 marks. Just a ton of scoring from defence, even if the ball's not going in much. Even Jazz Ferguson had a 42, and I don't think she's ever averaged anything close to 42 in her career. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I do think... I mean, I had the same thought about the Hawks against Richmond, where all of our defenders were taking 8 marks in that game, and that hasn't necessarily panned out this year, with the exception of Lucas Rod. I don't think, like, Everest and Elliott, and I know Kemp had done her ACL, but even early in the season, those, you know, switches that we were looking for, not quite the thing. So, I don't know. I think I'm probably with you. I would still hold Boyd out of the two. But I wouldn't feel confident playing her on field just yet, if you can avoid it.
That is fair enough. I just think, if you've got both, I really feel like Boyd could be a 70. And Paxi, if Melbourne are up big, I wouldn't be shocked if they're making the strategic call to again bench them in the fourth quarter. So I think that is a bit of a worry. We talked a little bit about Charlie Rowbottom earlier in the week. I think she remains an option this week, but I do expect that she will get some attention away from stoppage after looking like she was back in form. Moving along to the next game, Essendon and the Kangaroos. So we've got one change for the Bombers. Taya Chambers is out, omitted, and in comes important forward Georgia G. And then for North Melbourne, it's Alyssa Loughlin out with her lacerated liver, as well as Amy Gavin-Mangan, and then in come Vicky Wall and Emma King. Emma King's first game of the season. Very interesting to see that it's taken until now to actually have that happen. Don't think it's going to matter too much if she did or she didn't play in this one. We've talked at length about Jasmine Garner. Jono, you and I wrote at length about Jasmine Garner this week. She is priority number one for almost all teams. The question is just how much do you trade out another premium to be able to bring her in? That is probably the only question that non-owners need to be asking, and if they don't have the cash to take a rookie or a underperforming player up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to get much better of an opportunity to get one of those, you know, top three scorers. One of the things with Garner is if you ignore the game where she got injured and then her first game back from injury, every other game she's gone 130 or more this year. And I don't see any reason why we can't expect the same, at least this week. Yeah.
As runs of form go, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then, I don't think there's anyone that I'm truly interested in at the Bombers. The only question is Bonnie Toogood. Now, at this stage, the Bombers have two of their better forwards back, so she probably has a better chance to go higher up the ground this week. I purely from my perspective, this is the game that poses the biggest problem because I've got both Blaine Bogue and Bonnie Toogood. Blaine Bogue is at a position where she's already lost a bunch of cash. Her break-even is high. Bonnie Toogood has made a bunch of cash. Her break-even isn't ridiculously high, but it's not nothing. And North Melbourne for forwards might be the most difficult matchup in the entire competition.
Yeah. I don't know if I can look it up from my phone in this car park, but I have a vague memory that against North Melbourne 2 years ago, 2023, I'm pretty sure she put up like 118 or something like that.
So
I know it was a different time where she was, you know, playing unbelievably well. She averaged 100 that year. But I remember that being one of her better games because her marking was such a dominant force and she was pushing so high up the ground. And with Bannister back, with Alexander back, I mean, with Georgia G back, I mean, I kind of like the idea that she'll have more freedom to push back. I wouldn't say it's like a desperate trade out. You know, I think there are other bigger priorities for teams.
I would say that it's most likely that you would drop behind the ball. That's the most likely scenario. Unfortunately, you might be remembering a different team that she played against because she's only played against North once while she's been in Essendon. She scored a 36. This was when she came back from injury last year and had that in 85% time on ground, and it included two marks and three tackles. It was one of the
few. I must be thinking of a different game.
Because it was before she then had a great score against Richmond for an 87, and then people brought her in and she scored four in the final round.
It definitely wasn't last year. This would have been the year before at best, but yeah, it must be a different team then.
Who was good in that era? Geelong, she had 106. Against Fremantle, she had 126. Who were both around the finals mark, so it could be either of them.
Could have been that. Yeah. That's not important now.
Yeah, I'm potentially leaning towards trading out Bogue, if only because she's more likely to lose cash, and I don't know how much cash I'm going to be able to generate from my bench to get to someone I like. But I'm not set in stone on that, and thankfully I have some time to decide, and I also know that I'm going to have someone to loop with, given Grace Kosh is out, and I have Lauren Young to look at playing on Sunday. Unless we want to talk about anyone else from this game, I think the next discussion is Carlton and Fremantle. Carlton have two changes. Out go Shefa O'Connell and popular rookie Lulu Field, and in come Meg Robertson and Keely Skepper. Fascinating that it's Meg Robertson coming in and not Gab Pound. That's a big surprise, but it probably means that Meg Robertson is on a short leash. And then for Carlton, out goes Poppy Stockwell, who was another popular rookie option, and in comes Jess Lowe. This might be one of the least fantasy-relevant kind of team sheets of the week, given that most teams will own one Fremantle player and just about no one else in this game.
Oh, I think there'd be a couple. Mimstrom and Kiara Bowles, a pretty popular duo.
I literally forgot about Mimstrom. The Rucks kind of exist in a void in my mind. They're like their own separate team sheet.
Those Rucks are going to be a conversation for later. They were a nice little void for me, and then I was hoping to not have to trade a Ruck for the first time in 7 weeks. But alas, Ali Morford is out. But we'll come to that later.
We will come to that one. Well, then the question is, Well, actually, I think if I can answer it. I don't think you're trading in Mim Strom at the moment. I think you're more likely to trade into Matilda Schultz.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or Lucy Wales tonight.
Potentially Lucy Wales tonight. I don't know how much I love locking in that trade given we don't have confirmed Sunday squads yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think Mim Strom is an option if you want to match people around you. She's a very popular ruck at the moment. And it would be remiss of us not to mention that Dana Finn is on a spectacular run of form. She's extremely expensive, and no, I wouldn't be trading her in.
Mm. I would. I would also be looking at Matilda Banfield if you're looking for a forward rookie. I thought she looked pretty good in her first game,
and she's come across from hockey and apparently has elite running capacity for someone at 19. So we'll get decent enough. We'll hopefully get decent enough game time. So that might be a saving grace for you. Half forwards against Carlton, if Blaheem Bogue is anything to go by, toughest matchup in the game. But I doubt that's going to be the case this week. So I really do like that as an option. The same applies for, I think, Indy West is a reasonable trade-in option. Mm. I vaguely remember her having a pretty good break-even off the top of the dome.
Indy West,
300K, 13 break-even. So that's definitely one that I would be looking at. Let's jump along. We'll go to the final game for Friday's games. That's weird to say. Out goes Christy Lee, Western Turner for Western Bulldogs, and in comes rookie forward Emma McDonald, and then it's the Pies. Out goes Kalinda Howarth, injured, and Muran Atkinson omitted, which is interesting. I thought she actually played pretty well last week. And in come Annie Lee and Grace Campbell. So Grace Campbell, like for like, as a forward. Annie Lee and Atkinson, like for like, in defence. The biggest player to talk about from this one is Elizabeth Georgiostathis. Are we comfortable in saying that the midfield role is dead and buried, done and dusted, and she's a priority trade-out, probably possibly even over and above Paxi and Boyd?
Yeah, I think it does seem over, which is kind of sad. I think the amount of money that you can lose from a Georgiostathis could be dropping away very quickly, and I wouldn't want to risk that. I think I'd prioritize that trade out, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like you've just taken the floor out completely, and she's going to keep absolutely tanking. The other player to talk about from this game, and it's one that's kind of cropped up in DMs and questions that I've seen online, is Ash Centra. Jono, I know that you've still got her rolling. Mel, have you got Ash Centra still on your side?
Well, I was going to use her to fund Garner.
I think that's the question, right? Like, is it too early to get rid of Centra? And if and to the extent that you're finishing off your side, you're bringing in your final non-rookies, it's absolutely the time to get rid of Centra. It's the perfect time.
It kind of feels like the same situation as the question around the Paspakis trade. Like, if it has to be Paspakis or Centra to trade up to Garner, then go for it. But if you don't need to do that, if you can get Garner another way, then I don't see too much of a problem with holding them for another week, because I don't think they're going to give you a shocker.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think a lot of people who are still running that rookie on field, for a lot of them, it was their last position that they needed to upgrade. And if you're in that instance, absolutely. But I have seen a few questions of people who have, you know, they'll have a rookie in their forward line, they'll have a rookie in their defense, and a rookie in their midfield. I would say of all of those, Centra is probably the one I would feel most comfortable playing, particularly because you get to look at it on the Friday, and hopefully people's donuts are a little bit later in the round, and you can sort of take a look on whether you want to take it or not.
It's a good point. I think you can't really, the fact that you have Ash Centra in your team at this stage is the benefit, right? I don't know if you can make the wrong choice from here. And outside of that, this game, I went early. This game is probably the least fantasy relevant of the weekend.
Well, you can name some more names. Imogen Barnett is in a handful of sides and playing very, very well.
Yeah, I also think she's very expensive. And I would also say that, you know, she's like, I don't think you're trading her out. She's quite expensive, but she's scoring well, so you can trade her in. There's no, like, screaming rush to do it. I'd say that she sits at an awkward price point for a lot of teams. Maybe if you want to jump off Chloe Malloy going into two bad matchups in a row against Adelaide and then North, you could make the jump. But I think it's one of those ones where you go, I'm not going to talk you out of it in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. The other player that I'm keeping an eye on is that Collingwood's just finished one of those incredibly difficult runs where they've played a few difficult teams in a row, and their fixture opens up massively from here on out. I don't think they play another top eight side for the rest of the season. So definitely one where someone like a Britt Bonici could be one to keep an eye on see if she does bounce back. I mean, she scored reasonably well in the last couple of rounds, but I think her price is one that if I couldn't reach the Jazz Garners of the world right now, I wouldn't hesitate to look there.
Yeah, and I think I've seen some pretty good form in the last 2 weeks from Ruby Slyshaw. Let's just see what she's scored. 85 and a 106. Tackled supremely well, I would have said, against Hawthorn. And clearance work is really starting to improve. So at ceiling below a million, I think she's looking pretty excellent at the moment. And shout out to Carly Ramos, who quietly averaging 65 and made 200K on the year. Not someone we really ever considered starting at this point. In terms of defenders, in terms of Western Bulldogs, it's almost unfortunate that Georgia Stathis has gone back into defence, because a player that I had been watching with some intent before that move was Britt Gutknecht, who'd put together four scores over 60 and unfortunately has gone 48 and 49 since Georgia Stathis has started spending more time in defence. But I also had done some research during the week, and I believe she's currently sitting second in the out of the box award, which is player who takes the most free kick-ins without ever not leaving the square. I think Gutknecht is third. Zippy Fish is second. I wish I could remember who was first, but yeah, just a name to watch if that role does improve. Defender below 700K has it above 70 capability. Just a name to keep an eye on. All right, now let's move along to Sunday. These are all squads, so we obviously can't confirm a lot of these teams. For St Kilda, out, omitted, Kyla Forbes, Janome Anderson injured, and Molly McDonald injured. In come on an extended bench, Ariana Clark, Nat Plain, Nicola Zenos, Ella Friend, Darcy Guttridge, Zoe Basanko. And then for Port Adelaide, it is Alyssa Brooke out, omitted, Jasmine Evans out, omitted, and in come Cheyenne Hammett, Jasmine Soden, Piper Window, Lily Patterson, and Jasmine Stewart. Right, there is our absolute boatload of names here. devastating to see that Ella Friend could be back and scuppering Serene Watson scoring. I really hope that isn't the case. And just if it wasn't already annoying enough, Georgia Petrikios, after spending no time in the midfield for the last 3 weeks, CBAs wise, been named on the ball. And Ash Richards, who's been playing 70%, 50 to 70% midfield time, has been named in the forward pocket alongside Mel's favourite Zoe Basanko.
Well, I was going to say, we're bearing the lead there. Basanko's back.
Basanko's back and named on the ground.
Yeah, I think good chance that they're playing. Yeah.
Good chance of double digits, I'd say.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not that confident, unfortunately. And also been, funnily enough, named on Emily Borg, who is a known stopper. It's a dreadful matchup for a first-year forward.
Look, I've got a question for you. Piper Window, named for a second game of the year after being out injured, probably likely to get midfield minutes, I would suspect. And only, what, 670K from memory? Pretty handy price point.
Pretty handy price there? Point coming off a four-week injury. What was it that she had again? Was it shoulder or was it lower limb? I'm trying to remember what actually injury she'd done. I don't know how much I love it coming off a five-week break. That's a little alarming.
It is one of those situations which feels a little bit higher risk, which isn't great. But at the same time, if...
Ankle injury that required surgery.
Yeah, the only thing is if she does score well, her price is probably going to rise along with it. Like, I think she's priced so cheaply that
priced at 56.
It could be one that feels like it gets away.
Price of 56, if she break even at 51, if she were to score a 75, she'd still be in the mid-700s. And so you'd probably be sidewaysing her from a Bonnie Toogood if Bonnie scores a 30.
Yeah.
Or a 40.
I'm probably happy to leave it a week. I think it definitely feels like a higher risk situation. But just keen to get your thoughts. So glad to know we've talked it through.
If you were looking in that 600K range, Taylor Levy this week, break even of 34,
mm-hmm.
1 week, downgrade to window, you probably still make cash.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily do those trades because I don't love booking it so much, like baking them in so much, but I definitely think it's a possibility. It's a name that I'll absolutely be watching.
Yeah.
And then other names just to keep an eye on. Nikola Zenos might impact midfield time for certain players and also forward time for St Kilda players. Cheyenne Hammond, who had played as a tagger in the one game that she's played this year. I think that was the West Coast game and she was given a role on Ella Roberts, but forgive me, my memory might be completely off on that one. Just a few interesting names. A bit hard to tell who's actually going to play given the sheer volume of changes for these teams this week. We'll skip ahead then to Adelaide.
Hold on.
Yeah, go.
Lauren Young. I think a very important name to discuss because I think
yes, number
probably
one.
The most important rookie of the round.
Yes. If you can afford both structure-wise and money-wise, Lauren Young, just do it. Like the perfect kind of guaranteed job security / potential to get you 150 to 200K that you can unlock later. For this time of the year, you can't ask for much better.
I'd also, if I was in a position where I was looking at which rookie to play on ground, I would be fairly comfortable putting Lauren Young there. I mean, I think when you have spent so much time out of the game, you know, you're going to be shocked by the pace when you first come in. And so that first quarter where she didn't really touch the ball, I think she was -3 at quarter time. And then after that, she went, you know, 18, 19, 19 or something like that for a 53. So I think it's like I'm expecting her score to improve this week.
Yeah, and I do hope that she showed enough in these games to allow her some flexibility to move higher up the ground. What I do find fascinating is that Alyssa Brooke has not been named. So I wonder then if it's a guarantee that it's a forward to ruck, ruck to forward swap between Gaunt and Matilda Schultz this week. And I kind of understand why they've kind of had three options to kind of run through the ruck at times this year as Port Adelaide. But going up against Ott and Reen, I don't necessarily feel like that's something you need to bake into when you've only got 21 spots to fill.
Yeah.
Just trying to think if there's anyone else that is relevant to chat about here. Charlotte Simpson. Charlotte Simpson is another name. I'm not exactly how confident I am that she plays this week, but she is definitely someone who has a low break even after what she scored last week. Break even of 21, price at 433K. I know that there was a question floating around, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was from, but who was the better rookie out of Simpson and Kavanagh? I think that's one that's definitely going to be decided tomorrow night. So it might be the case of having to pick someone that will play tomorrow because I'm worried that both might not play. All right, let's jump on then. After I went a little bit early before, Adelaide against Sydney over in Adelaide. No changes, no forced outs as yet for Adelaide. In come into the squad, Kaylee Cronin, Christina Leuzzi and Grace Kelly, and then just an absolutely fascinating situation at Sydney. Out go Holly Cooper, Ash Van Loon, which we'll get to, but most importantly, Ali Morfitt out injured, which just brutal given that she's just come off her second incredible performance of the year. Looked spectacular. We've heard nary a word about the fact that she wasn't going to be playing, and then bang.
Yeah, where's this injury reporting from yesterday? No mention.
Every time, yeah.
I'm pissed.
So does anyone here on this call, do they own Ally Morfitt by any chance?
Well, she's only 5% owned, so this feels like very much a me problem. So we don't have to dwell on it.
Well, actually, let's have a quick look and let's see how many people in the higher ranks or even just any ranks own Ally Morfitt. Ally Morfitt is owned by two coaches in the top 50, six overall in the top 100, and 73 in the top 1,000. So it's a positive trend, Mel. You know, 5% overall, but 7.3% in the top 1K. So, you know, the better the coach, the more likely they are to have Ally Morfitt. Which, not much solace for you this week when you've got to make another ruck trade, but it's not bad.
It poses the big question of, can I fix up Morfitt and bring in Garner at the same time? Because that is then two upgrades. Because if you're going to trade out Morfitt, you want to be bringing in a Steph Wales, a Lucy Wales, and Matilda Schultz, who are all just a little bit more. Because there's a big drop-off in price. Big drop-off down to Emma King. Come on down. First game of the season.
Do not, under any circumstances, book in another ruck trade by bringing in Emma King.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a spanner in the works. I think my preferred option at the moment is Matilda Schultz as the trade-in. Jono, you want to make a case for Lucy Wales or...?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that almost every ruck's best performance this year has come against Geelong. We looked at Steph Wales, probably the closest you can get to seeing what Lucy Wales would do, put up 122 against them a couple of weeks back. I can see Lucy Wales coming off, you know, 122 herself last week, backing it up tonight. But it does lock you into a trade immediately.
With a lot of uncertainty in these Sunday squads. I don't hate it. I think the dominating capacity of Matilda Schultz going up against Reen and Ott, that has another 120 plus score baked into it. Like that's what I'm seeing right now. I just don't know if there's any way to be stopped or anyone that can stop her in that St Kilda team.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they're both good options. I would go both of those above Mimstrom.
I thought you were about to. I would trade in both of them if we had two rucks, and I was like, "Well, that's bold."
I would love a multiple ruck situation. I think rucks are so under traded. unless of course you're on a podcast with Mel,
Don't say that too loudly, Mel might hear. Oh, geez, that's a fascinating one. Well, in terms of other players in this game, we've already talked a little bit off the top about Sarah Goodwin. I thought she looked incredible. She had six centre clearances, which is the second most that has been had by any player in a game. I think there's about four players on seven centre clearances, but that's insane. And I thought she looked every bit as good as that degree of performance. I think she's got a bunch of cash to make this week. And I think Adelaide would be mad to try and send her to any other position on the ground that isn't centre bounce. The question will be, I don't think the 110 pluses are going to be sustainable long-term in any way. It will be fascinating to see how the midfield balance looks when it's Hatchard, Marinoff and Goodwin together at most CBAs, because Hatchard spent a lot more time forward last week. And so Adelaide teams seems like a little bit of a team in flux. And I do wonder, and this is where it becomes relevant, Ash Van Loon out, the weakest line by a large margin in my mind for Sydney is their defence. And Danielle Ponta is a potential trade option, again, just given the defenders that she has. Has anyone considered her? I know that I've had a quick look. Anyone here? 770K has had a 77 and a 78 in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, I have looked at it. I just worry that it's another player who's got that ceiling and low floor. and I'm already struggling with Zanka. So unless I was trading her out, I'm not sure I can justify doing it.
But yeah, I guess like if you are stuck going for below 700K, 800K, so you're precluded from Richards, Hodder, then I don't hate it as an option. It's comparing Hodder. Her directly with Taylor Harris. Just in terms of price. So you've got in that range, Ponta 770, Zanka 778, Craven 761, something we didn't talk about, another trade option I don't mind whatsoever, and then Harris at 751. I wouldn't be surprised if it's another couple of 70s in the next couple of weeks for Ponta. We know that she's probably going to get some time in the midfield. And in terms of forwards, Sydney, Richmond, West Coast in the next three, it's a good run to get in on. I don't know if anyone's got the speed and forward craft combination to go up against her in those next few games.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
All right. Anyone else that I wanted to talk about in this one? Well, there is, I have seen some chat floating around online about trading out of Montana Ham. She did lose a bunch of cash last week and had Adelaide into North. The same question applies to Chloe Malloy. Is it something that we should be considering more seriously? I haven't considered it at all this week, but I do wonder if it's something that I should be pushing up just because I know that North is on the horizon.
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction. I mean, look at what some of the Gold Coast players scored last week. They were pretty phenomenal. I know it's a tough matchup generally. I wouldn't expect that every week. But I think Montana Ham, of almost any player, is probably the one I think is most likely to be a top five forward going forward. You know, I think the ceiling that she has is pretty phenomenal. So I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a better forward in your team to trade out, even with the two matchups coming in.
Yeah, it's a question of, you know, she is she's how much more, 130K more expensive than Bonnie Toogood, with Ham having that matchup. I think that I wouldn't say she's the most, Montana Ham is the most likely to be a top five forward. I think at the moment that Zali Goldsworthy, because even when Zali is playing as a forward, she's still scoring 70, like a lower score of the year is 77. And she's just had 145, playing as nearly a full-time mid. And lo and behold, she's an incredible scorer and hasn't gone off the ground.
No, that's
gone off the ground once in the last month for 2% of the game. But I think it is an overreaction. I think I prefer to trade out of Toogood versus trading out of Ham.
Yeah.
And I know that Brooke Boileau is a name that's been kind of thrown around as a cheaper option to bring in. I think given the other options in that 700K range, taking someone who has looked all right in spurts but doesn't sit very high on their team's pecking order to get the ball, it's not an option I love.
Yep.
All right, let's move along to Brisbane against Richmond. One injury for Brisbane. We've got Charlemont out into the squad. Claudia Wright, Dee Heslop, Poppy Bolts and Natalie Grider. Then for Richmond, Jody Hicks injured out. We knew about that one. And then in come Caitlin Cox, Amelia Yassir, Charlie Wicksteed, and Lauren Brazali. Quite a number of relevant names in this game, particularly for Brisbane. I will name up front that Jade Ellinger has been named on the ball for fun. That's a fascinating little choice there. And then also, Jono, I know you were talking a lot about her last week. I've also mentioned her as a trade-in this week. Courtney Hodder, now quite a fair bit more expensive than she was a few weeks ago at 874K. So more expensive than Ashley Maloney and only 20K less than Chloe Malloy. Of all the forward targets, price adjusted, is she your favourite? Or is it because you have the cash to go there that you're considering trading her in?
Yeah, I guess it's one that I like probably more for its uniqueness. I don't feel like super confident on it, but I do really like Brisbane's run. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily worry about where she's being named. I think you know, Bree Conan every week up until this week has been named on the ball, and it looks like this week they've thrown in Ellinger. I think there's a good chance she still holds that midfield spot. But even if she doesn't, I think she's probably got enough of a floor based on, you know, how much they should be putting up big scores. So I would probably be happy to go there. And if I was trading in a forward this week, it would probably have been amongst my top options. The other ones that I like are Maloney and Parry, who are both playing tonight and probably are a bit more difficult to lock into for that reason.
Yeah, I don't know how comfortable I am in saying that the 7 and 11 tackles are sustainable. We know that, again, this is someone with high variance for quite a while. And I don't know how much Craig Starcevic is confident in his current midfield and then stoppage rotations are. So that's why I'm a little bit worried about it. And just given the price, like last week, I probably would have had fewer queries. But she's almost certain to make cash again this week, and a great matchup. So I can't begrudge anyone that's going ahead and making that pick. It's a pretty price to pay for someone who we know can have an awesome game and score 50 or 45.
Yeah.
And as you said yourself, you know, got to raise standards. 60 is not good enough for forwards now. In the new age of AFLW fantasy, that's not good enough. Never mind that I had a 19 on field this past week. That doesn't matter. Not good enough. Other options to talk about. Ali Anderson this week. We haven't seen it so far this year. I do wonder if Grace Egan sends some attention to Anderson after she's had two of her more impactful games this season in a row. But I still like her for the price and just the fact that I think she's probably going to avoid any true floor scores if you are looking, you know, sub 1.1 mil. So priced below or priced in that 90 region. I think Ali Anderson is a good play. I also think you're more than happy to be trading out Sierra Greaves at this stage. She certainly feels like someone who can leave your team. Another option to look at on your bench after a great score last week is Shanae Davison. I feel like with the injury still cracking around at Brisbane at the moment, scored a 55, spending a little bit more time on the ground and behind the ball at 388K as a forward. I don't hate it. And if she plays another game next week, we'll have a 16 lever price cycle. So, again, another great run. I think this is why we've been talking a lot about Brisbane players throughout this week and last. It's another week to be continuing to look and see if you can bring some of these Lions in. Is there anyone else you want to talk about from this game? We are nearly at the final game. Well, we're nearly done for the week.
Yeah, not too many, really.
All right, let's go to West Coast against GWS Giants. So no outs as yet for the Eagles. An income to the squad, Lucy Boyd, Dana Hooker and Emma Swanson. So I'm pretty comfortable in saying there will be at least one, if not two, omissions for the Eagles this week. And then for GWS, out goes injured Grace Kosh, which we were definitely aware of earlier in the week. And we're kind of expecting it, having seen that she was injured in that game last weekend in the Battle of the Bridge. And then into the squad come Alicia Eva, Sophie Kavanagh, Alicia Newman, and Fleur Davis. Fleur Davis named right at the end of an extended bench. Ailish O'Dowd named in the ruck. This is a game where we were kind of talking about it earlier. Kaylee Kavanagh is relatively cheap as a midfield rookie going into a good matchup. 375K. If you are looking midfield rookies, is she the best option at sub 400K?
I'm a little bit nervous that she's not necessarily guaranteed looking at this bench. This is going to be the first time that they've had all of Swanson, Thomas, Johnson, Wrench, Cleaver. Like it's a lot of players in the back line, and I wonder if any of them get pushed a little bit up the ground and how much you know, who's, I suppose, the ones that go out. If you go by the naming on the bench, the players at the end there, I wouldn't expect Bushby to get pushed out. She's actually been playing pretty well lately. So I'm a little curious here.
Oh, I actually think that Abigail Bushby might have set a near record for turnovers or clangers on the weekend. I'll be able to look it up in a second, but I would also be shocked if Roxy Rue was not named. I thought she played well. I think she just had a nomination for Mark of the Week too.
It's hard to find who on this bench is going to go. So,
yeah, I wonder. Like,
I just keep an eye. I'd make sure if you are trading her in that you keep an eye on that, because that's a bit nerve-wracking.
You wouldn't want it to be a situation where you need that downgrade for cash to be able to bring her in. The player that I probably prefer is Violet Patterson at sub 320K, playing on a wing for Collingwood. What's even funnier is that every time commentators say her name, it sounds like Violet Patterson, which is extremely amusing because she's not a very violent footballer, nor is she particularly like broad-shouldered or like particularly muscular. That's just a personal thing that I find amusing, but does confirmed in the squad. That's probably the player that I prefer at the moment and still has an okay break even and a good matchup this week. I know midfielders, not a great matchup for Western Bulldogs on paper, but I do think part of that comes from that Hawthorn game where scoring was really, really low. So that's why I think their kind of rating for in the scale of hardness is a lot more red than I think is accurate, just with the way that they're playing at the moment. And then who else do we have to discuss from this game? If you really want, I think, Charlotte Riggs, maybe if you're trying to get some, you know, a tiny bit of cash from Piper Dunlop with what's her name back this week. Completely forgotten the name of Will. Where's Will when you need you when we need him? Kate Darby, that's the name of the player. Taylor Levy was someone we'd mentioned earlier. Both Georgia Garnett and Tani Evans have been scoring well recently. Garnett had a great score on the weekend. Tani Evans has started extremely hot a number of times, hasn't been able to keep it up. Garnett had a 54 last week and Evans, had an 83 the other way around. In terms of runs, GWS forwards, West Coast, St Kilda, Geelong, Fremantle, Carlton and Port Adelaide, I think it's top three for the rest of the season. Again, they're in this price range we're talking about, that sub 800K range. If you were picked between the two, who do you prefer?
Oh, it's not an easy call, really. I mean, do you have an obvious preference?
It's probably Evans because I think she's a more important ball mover. But then they've shown a greater predilection for putting Garnett behind the ball to get marks if they're trying to salt away a quarter.
I mean, surely the fact that she's cheaper to me, like when she's had a higher ceiling in the past, is something that I'll be looking at. But, yeah. Garnett was playing very well on the weekend.
Yeah.
Against the Dogs anyway. Yeah. I can't say I watched all of the Sydney game.
There is something to note, though. I think that she might be carrying an injury. I feel like she was mentioned on the injury list as a test this week. So just something to keep in mind there. So I think Evans, definitely someone to keep in mind if you are looking sub 800K for a forward. All right, we've got 11 minutes before the round starts at 7:15. I'll see if I can answer a quick couple of questions and then, Jono, I'll let you go. Quick question for you. Paxman to Goodman or Too Good to Barnett for Ethan?
I would say Paxman to Goodwin.
Agreed. Hanks or Georgie Prasparkas to Garner? I'm Georgie Prasparkas on this one.
Oh,
Tyler Hanks up against the Gold Coast Suns this week. Best next three for midfielders have Melbourne.
Yeah, it's hard with Melbourne because I feel like their entire year has been good for midfield runs. I'd probably agree, but it's very close.
Very low ball. I think you could flip a coin.
Yeah.
TLR Barnett and a Borg / 300k rookie, or Goodwin Barnett and Banfield? I'm Goodwin Barnett and Banfield.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think with Tilly, you can probably afford to wait a couple of weeks.
Yes, I think so. Hopefully, Mac Early finds a way back into the forward line so those kick-ins can go back. Would you go Prasparkas down to Ali Anderson for, as a two-week player, so you can get Stone up to Barnett? I wouldn't be. I don't think you necessarily need to be trading out Stone. Kind of talked about it earlier in the week on the podcast. I think Stone gets a little bit of a better, slightly better role with the injuries that have occurred for Hawthorn.
I mean, yeah, but it's not a... It's a better role than it would be if Hipwell was playing, but it's still not that role she had where she was the third mid. So
no, I agree. It's more like I feel like Prasparkas could score a lot tonight. You could hold off a week. I don't feel like you need to be forcing that trade to upgrade Stone.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
All right. And this one here, the one that's been killing a lot of people, still can't differentiate between Heath and Toogood or Ham and Boyd out. Which combination are you trading out this week? We didn't really talk about Shelley Heath. Lost a fair bit of a midfield role, but again, has a great run upcoming.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to trade out of either of Heath or Ham. I've got them both in my team, and I've no desire to trade them at the moment. So
I
would look at the other Heath. Two. Yeah.
Considered Heath to Goodwin. But I also think that there's a world where I'll still be able to get Goodwin next week. So I'm not forcing the issue at the moment. But it's Heath plus Toogood or Boyd plus Ham as the trade-outs.
Yeah, well, I would definitely be trading Boyd out of my side before any of the others is how I would look at that.
Yeah.
I'm not confident in Toogood. If you could do Boyd and Toogood, that would be the ideal situation. Particularly, you know, it's not a huge jump to be able to get up to a Goodwin. And then a sideways from Toogood. So that would probably be my preferred option. But if you have to pick one of them, then I would go Heath and Boyd probably.
You mean Ham and Boyd?
Ham and Boyd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever was paired with Boyd, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I think I'm leaning more towards... Yeah, go Ham and Boyd. You'll probably be able to get Ham again in 2 weeks when they come out of their stinky bit of their run. All right, well, I think that will just about wrap us up. We'll give everyone ages to lock in all their trades before this game starts, and we'll let Jono, you get off to the game. Good luck tonight for Hawthorn. Good luck for everyone with their trades. Hopefully they all go well. As always, you will hear us on the podcast on Tuesday this week. And enjoy, for those of us in Melbourne, enjoy a bumper day of football on a long weekend Friday. I don't know if it gets much better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Talk to you later, everyone. Enjoy.
See ya. Bye.